This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Back on Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest, cranking out 50,000 watts. You can listen worldwide by getting the app at 810WHB.com. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show. Coming up at 10:30, Nick Schwert will join us. Nick does Rock Chalk Sports Talk on KLWN in Lawrence, Kansas. We'll talk a little KU basketball and a little KU football. But the music you hear right now is the lead-in to what we call Bohlig Bites, where Chris Bohlig picks out sound bites from the world of sports. Could be funny, could be weird, could be interesting. I don't know. I don't know what they are.
All of those. All of the above.
All of the above.
Can you give me the D for all of the above?
Yes.
When you have those tests, multiple choice, all of the above, we're bringing it today.
Okay.
Hopefully you get some good laughs out of some of these, Brad.
What do you got?
We start out in the world of football with one Terry Bradshaw throwing some shots at a Big 12 quarterback.
I never understood why players would want to go and stack up. Like Texas, we open up with Texas this year. And one year they signed 3 5A quarterbacks. Two are now gone. And one that's playing, he ain't that good. And I'm like, really? 5A? And you watch them throw the football and you go, man, alive, what are they? Like they go there and they can't throw the football. I'll take our boys any day.
All right, Terry, you're gonna take your boys over the Texas Longhorns in that opening game. You gonna throw some money on that? I'll gladly throw money on that game if you want.
I'll throw a bet down with Terry Bradshaw.
Terry Bradshaw definitely. I don't know if you saw his fits when he was had these comments.
I did. He looked.
It looked really.
It was not a good look for him.
It was interesting to say the least.
Well, so he's cracking on Sam Ellinger.
Yes, exactly.
Not Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star.
Sam Ellinger.
Ellinger, the quarterback at Texas, who is generally regarded as one of the, top 5 to 8 quarterbacks in college football?
Yeah.
I don't get that. I think he's a really good quarterback. I'm not saying he's great. I'm not saying number one overall pick, Sam Ellinger. I'm saying he's a really good college quarterback.
Yeah, he has some accuracy issues at sometimes, but he still is he's a good leader, and he really cares about the program.
And he's been doing it a long time.
So
Terry Bradshaw might want to stay away from the college football there, Terry. Stick to the NFL where you're protected.
All righty. We keep it in the realm of the gridiron.
Okay.
Brett Hundley.
Okay.
He was talking about going to Arizona now. He's in Arizona. And
okay.
He's talking about his role with Kyler Murray and where he sees himself.
Okay.
Just knowing that, I'm in the right kind of offense that I've been waiting for, and to put together everything I've learned from, my past experiences in Green Bay, Seattle, into this offense, I feel like I can really do some damage. I take the same approach as Aaron took from me. You're always there for any, just as Ray Lewis said, knowledge is to be gained and passed along. So I think the knowledge that I have, I'm able to pass it along to him, and especially through this journey of his, because the NFL isn't a sprint, it's a long distance marathon. And for me, my goal always has been to start, no matter where I'm at, no matter what the position is in. I don't play to be second. So I think that's my number one goal is to get that starting job. But at the same time, it's a competition for a reason.
Brett Hundley, of course, he's going to say he wants to start, and they drafted Kyler Murray to start right away, Brett. I'm sorry to say this, and your track record in Green Bay when Aaron Rodgers went down was awful. You were horrible. You were not good. I had a friend that was a Green Bay Packers fan, diehard, and we watched all the Green Bay games. We had the NFL Sunday ticket, and when Aaron Rodgers went down and Brett Hundley was in his role,
It was awful. Okay.
Horrible. The scoring was not there.
Okay.
That's for sure.
Here's the thing. One, you're right. He's not going to start. I get that. You have to train and work out and practice
to act like you're going to start.
To try to win the starting job. But here's the thing. I've thought about this. For as bad as he played, a guy who's been a backup to Aaron Rodgers and a backup in Seattle, you can still be effective in passing along advice, pointing out things that you see, pointing out Kyler Murray's mistakes, telling him what he does well. Because look at this. I think a guy who could be a great coach someday, if he wants to be, is Chase Daniel.
Yeah.
He doesn't play a lot. He's been in the league a long damn time. And he's been with, you know, he's been with Alex Smith. He's been with Drew Brees. He's been in Philadelphia. He's been in Chicago. So, I think he could really give him some good advice, but he ain't starting.
You make a good point, but we're supposed to make we're making fun of people in this segment.
I'm not making fun of anybody, no.
No, but no, that's
just
Brett
a little reality check.
Yeah, a little reality check for one Brett Hundley after I saw his efforts with the Green Bay Packers. But we move on. As we this has been going on for the past couple of weeks when you were out of town with Tom Cruise and Justin Bieber, there was some rumors that they were going to fight him.
Well,
yeah, supposedly. So Ben Askren, who is a UFC fighter, had some stuff
Missouri grad.
Had some stuff to say about this possible fight. Probably not going to happen, but if it did, it would be awesome.
I'm going to say Tom Cruise. Justin Bieber seems like a wimp. Like, Tom Cruise at least seems like he's probably been through some and so, you
Mission
know,
Impossible, you know, he's been
so someone's trying to tell me he's like a great athlete, which I don't know if that's true or false. I'm not sure.
Well, he does his own stunts, you know.
So, I mean, you'd watch it. I'd watch it.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? I was saying to someone the other day, fighting's funny because there's a lot of sports. If they suck at it. You watch someone suck at basketball, you don't want to watch them.
No.
If you see someone suck at football, you don't want to watch them.
Right.
But fighting, there's something about fighting. It don't matter how bad they are.
Absolutely.
And sometimes when they suck, it's even better.
It's like
that you just want to watch them fight. I don't know.
It's like the ultimate celebrity death match, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So your money's on Tom Cruise.
I'd want to watch him train or something. If I was gonna make a legitimate wager with my own money on it,
yeah,
I'd want to watch him train or know something about him. But if we're gonna say, you know, figuratively, we'll go Tom Cruise.
Okay. Now say if you know Justin Bieber has dealings and he's cool with.
Forgot to cut the last part of that off. That was on me. But anyways, Tom Cruise and Justin Bieber, Ben Askren makes a great point about fighting in general, that even if you suck at it, it doesn't matter because it is fun to watch people fight each other.
You can find any day.
There's rough and rowdy. There's amateur boxing. There's a whole amateur boxing event where they go into like West Virginia and other rural places and get people to fight against each other willingly.
Well, you can find any day on Twitter people posting video of other people that get in street fights, and it's not pretty, but people watch it. Here's the thing. So Bieber did this a few weeks ago. He challenged Tom Cruise to a fight in the Octagon. I don't know if this was supposed to be a charity thing or something, but look, I've seen the two. You know, you see Tom Cruise movies, he does, what, 95% of his own stunts? You see the stuff he does, the motorcycles and going through walls and throwing himself out windows, and he usually, at some point, he's in a tank top or takes his shirt off, and he's pretty well put together. And he's got what I call old man strength.
That, and I feel like he hasn't aged in, like,
no,
forever.
He
still looks the same.
A few wrinkles around the eyes, but that's about it. But no, I would put 100% of my monies on Tom Cruise against Justin Bieber.
He's a madman.
I lay it all against Tom Cruise.
Yeah,
and like Ben Askren said, he's been through some crap in his life. If you read his life history and what, and his father, who he hasn't seen in decades, I think his father left the family. They grew up pretty tough.
So that is it.
Yeah,
Ben
Askren's
money on Tom Cruise.
Yep, Tom Cruise.
Moving on, you said we might have a Charles Barkley.
Okay.
And this is about one set LeVar Ball after his interesting bad comments on First Take.
Which were awful.
Were terrible.
Yeah.
And here is what Charles Barkley had to say.
No, I don't talk about LeVar Ball.
No, it's a fair question.
No, I don't talk about LeVar Ball. And wherever LeVar Ball is, there's a village missing an idiot.
Yeah.
Listen, we should just keep LeVar off television. That'll be the best way to do it.
But that's my point, though. I mean, he brings distraction.
Yeah,
I
know.
Can that small market handle?
It's really unfair to his son. His son's is a good player and a nice kid.
And that's what I'm saying.
No, he should just keep him off TV. He's an idiot. It don't matter. He's an idiot in all 50 states. not New Orleans, not Louisiana, not L.A. He's an idiot in all 50 states.
Summed up nicely there by one Charles Barkley about his thoughts on LeVar Ball. They have some history going back in terms of going back and forth, but I love it. I just love the the just bluntness of Charles Barkley and going after LaVar Ball, because I agree with everything he just said.
The best line in there was, wherever LaVar Ball is, there's a village missing an idiot.
Yes.
And look, so LaVar's banned from ESPN now because two times now he has insulted a female host. The first time, I don't remember what the show was, maybe it was Stephen A's show, there was a host who said something and LaVar told her, stay in your lane. The second time, I'm not going to repeat what he said. It was, there were sexual overtones to it.
Yeah.
And it was awful. And ESPN, I don't know why they didn't ban him before, but he's banned now. LaVar Ball, I agree with everything Charles Barkley said. I don't put anything on Lonzo Ball. From all accounts, he's a nice young man. He's a good player. He's got a bright future. But LaVar, how's the sales of Big Baller Brand going?
Do you ever see anybody wearing Lonzo? Because Lonzo actually seems like a good
guy. That's what
guy.
I'm saying.
Like he's just kind of trying to navigate his way through the world of professional basketball. And he's had to deal with this since college and even high school as well. So,
have you ever seen anybody wearing Big Baller Brand, either shoes or a hat or a T-shirt? Anybody?
No.
Have you ever seen anybody?
No.
No, neither have I.
So,
good work.
We move on. Keeping it in the NBA, Enes Kanter was on with Colin Cowherd this past week,
okay.
And he had something to say about Mr. Zion Williamson, number one overall pick. This is what he had to say.
Okay,
I kind of feel like he's overhyped. I feel like he's Julius Randle with hops.
He's Julius Randle with
hops. that's how I believe.
By the way. You're not the first person who said that.
Yes. Oh, well, some players are even like scared to say it, but you know me. You know, I'm not scared to say anything.
So
you know,
Julius Randle, but more vertical.
Well, yes. There you go. That's exactly what
I was. How would you defend him?
I would just defend. I would just let him shoot. You know, but I if he develop his shot, he's definitely could become a Hall of Famer. But I mean, it's all in his hand. He just needs to put the work in and just. Go out there and just to show the whole world.
I think my favorite part about that is going from overhyped to Hall of Famer.
Potential Hall
same,
of Famer.
In a 42-second clip.
Yes.
It's just so funny that it can go so quickly from one thing to
right.
the next.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Is Zion Williamson overhyped by the media? Yes, because this has been going since high school, and they're posting his dunk videos all the time. He's on TV all the time. Every one of his games at Duke were, almost all of them, were on national TV. He was the subject of every story in every game. And then, you know, when he blew out his, was it the Nike shoes?
Yeah.
Duke wears, when,
that
when
was
he,
a huge, that blew when, up everywhere.
Oh, my God, he blew out his shoe. Nike might have ruined his career. Nike owes him an apology. And
that actually helped because it brought so much buzz. Not that he needed any more buzz going into the college season, but there was there was still, you know, going from high school to college, you had the mixtapes of him just dunking on everyone, and the players that he was playing against didn't look that great in some of the videos. So there was some skepticism of how is his all around game, and I think that was squashed. I mean, he still has to, of course,
work on his shot. Yeah,
it's not great. And we'll see how his style of play translates into an NBA where there are most all the NBA players are grown men and know how to play the game and know how to defend.
And
so,
Enes Kanter is a grown man because he can't go back to Turkey anymore.
He's very outspoken
he's under
about that.
Threat
the
of
president,
arrest.
Of Turkey is not happy.
Now
with,
they've rescinded his passport and he's got arrest warrants out. And,
I don't think he should be heading into.
And by the way, let me clarify. They want him arrested because he speaks out against the government, not because he's done anything illegal or untoward.
Yeah,
the president of Turkey doesn't like him.
I've never been to Turkey, but I've from what he says, at least, it's very not great. So we push on. We go on to, you're going to love this one, Brad.
Okay.
This is this happened on your favorite broadcaster's show. Mike Francesa, your guy, your favorite guy. This is your guy.
Nope. Clown.
This is your favorite. This was live on the air on a show when the Mets were playing the Phillies on a day game.
Oh, is this when the bullpen
blew
up?
This is a live reaction from Mike Francesa. Let's hear what he has to say.
It's tied. Oh, my God. It's tied. Ball's a home run. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Can't happen. Not in. You can't. There is no coming back from this for them if they lose this game. Segura hits a shot. Home run. Unbelievable. He's done. He's shot. Bullpen shot. Team shot. Manager's shot. The pitching strategist, who the hell knows what he does in the first place? Hey, you know what? Just listen. Let the Mets take the bus. Instead of coming north on a turnpike, send it south. Let the 69 Mets suit up tomorrow night. This is a disgrace. I can't even believe it. You can't lose this game. They stink so bad, you can't even make it up.
All right, Mike Francesa, I think he has a bright future as a play-by-play for the Mets after he is done at WFAN. What do you think, Brad?
No.
Yeah, okay.
Here's the thing. Okay. I don't get people in New York who listen to Mike Francesa for how long is he on? 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours? I don't know. The only reason I think that most people would listen to Mike Francesa is to listen to him say something stupid because he does it all the time. All the time!
I just love how he's not even a Mets fan, which is the best part. He's a Yankees fan, but he was just blowing up live.
That's on the
one New York Mets, which was hilarious. But I think the Mets should maybe look into this, and he might have a future with the Mets broadcasting team.
It would be interesting. There's a Twitter account that constantly posts Mike Francesa hot
back after this. Back
after this, and it's look, it's entertainment value, but no, I don't think anybody takes him seriously as a talk show host. It's just he's gonna make a.
I mean,
gap.
He was one of the pioneers for all of him and Mad Dog.
But that was a long
pioneers.
Time ago.
Of course. But he's one of those like people in New York. Have been listening to him forever.
For generations now.
And they're like, Mike. Yeah. And they love, people love prank calling him too, which is hilarious.
Yes.
People love doing the prank
calls. People will call him.
They will bait him into stuff.
They'll ask him about like a fictitious player. Like, what do you think of this Joe Johnson kid that the Red Sox just called up? Well, I think he stinks and the person doesn't exist. Yeah.
Yeah. He gets stumped quite a bit by fake players.
Yes.
So, yep, that's that. I wanted to end it with some Mike Francesa there. He was the icing on the cake for today.
Okay, Mike Francesa, national treasure, I guess.
Yes,
I just
back after this.
So it doesn't matter how many sound bites you come up with, Chris, for Bowling Bites. Nothing's going to beat Barkley on any day. Barkley's going to win all the time. Saying that wherever LeVar Ball is, there's a village missing an idiot. That's
classic.
Gold. That's gold standard.
It is gold
Charles
standard.
Charles Barkley. All right. Good stuff. All right. On that note, we are coming up on a timeout here. Coming up at 10:30 or just a few minutes here, Nick Schwert from KLWN in Lawrence. He hosts Rock Chalk Sports Talk is going to join us. We'll talk KU basketball and KU football. And then at 11 o'clock, we will magically transition from Sports Sunday to Baseball Tonight. I always like when I host Baseball Tonight when it's during the day. It sounds funny to say.
Baseball, yeah.
Baseball Tonight today.
This morning.
It's like, did you read USA Today today? Did you read USA Today yesterday?
Yep.
All right. Quick timeout. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bolick is running the show with the hot sound bites. And you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. Cranking out those 50,000 watts. Temperature is climbing by the minute. Stepped outside for a second. Holy cow. It's going to be a hot one today. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bolick is running the show. We just wrapped up with Bolick Bites. Earlier in the show, in hour number one, we had Nick Jacobs from 41 Action News on the show talking Chiefs football. If you missed it,
you can get the podcast at 810WHB.com. We're awaiting to hear from Nick Schwert. You think? Okay, so I just, okay, what I'm going to give you a little peek behind the curtains here.
So my phone is just not responding to anything I'm doing back here.
So you want me to just hit this button?
If this is Nick Schwert on the
I hope
line.
This is Nick.
Because I just tried calling
Let's try this. This is very dangerous game in radio. Hello, is this Nick Schwert?
This is Nick Schwert,
you know. Yes. Sorry, the phone totally froze back here, and I couldn't hang up on anything. It's just stuck.
Nick, you've been in the radio game as well, and sometimes things happen.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Are we on the air right now?
Yes, we are on the air right now.
Okay. Awesome. Good to know. Yeah, it is Nick Schwert.
Well, that's a heck of a way to come on the air when I'm just guessing that the blinking light is going to be our guest.
Well, usually there's a little buffer, you know, somebody's telling me, okay,
right.
I'm putting you on now, but I guess you guys are just throwing me into the fire. Let's
hey,
do it.
It's the way it goes. It's a Sunday. Things happen. Things happen.
You're right about that.
Nick is the host of Rock Chalk Sports Talk on KLWN in Lawrence, Kansas. Before I get into the Jayhawks in basketball and football, we just had Bolig Bites in the last segment, and Chris Bolig was playing some interesting sound bites from the world of sports. And Charles Barkley, somebody asked him, it sounded like an ambush interview, like a TMZ thing maybe. Somebody asked him what he thought of LeVar Ball, and he says, I don't talk about LeVar Ball. I don't want to talk about LeVar Ball. Lonzo's a great kid, but I don't get into LeVar Ball because wherever LeVar Ball is, there's a village missing an idiot. You're not going to beat Charles Barkley in the soundbite contest.
No. You know, I don't know what he's talking about. LeVar Ball, to me, has shown nothing, but I think he's obviously a very humble guy.
Yeah.
He's clearly intelligent and knows exactly what he's doing. So, I mean, he gets my nomination for Father of the Year. I don't know what everybody else is talking about.
Well, I also asked Chris, have you ever seen anybody around Lawrence, Kansas, or anybody in your life wearing Big Baller brand, either shoes, a hat, a T-shirt, whatever? Have you ever seen anybody wearing that gear?
I had a friend who actually ordered the original Big Baller brand shoes.
Like the ZO1s or something? Or
yeah, I don't think he ever got them.
Shocking.
Or if he did, they got back ordered and he canceled his order. So to answer your question, no, I have not.
I wouldn't expect it to see anytime soon. I can't imagine the big colleges why they're not lining up to sign a deal. But
well, with all the controversy that's going on with the shoe companies and college basketball, I mean, you can make a strong case that they're one of the few companies that haven't been engulfed by this scandal. So maybe they're one of the only clean companies that schools should be getting into bed with. So I don't know. Something to think about.
Yeah, that company has a real runs like a Swiss watch kind of feeling to it.
Hey, no NCAA violations.
Hey,
so
that should be on like the sign when you walk into their office. Big Baller brand. We have not been indicted or accused of anything yet, other than just being a horribly run business. But
I love it. You're right.
All right, let's talk about some Jayhawks. Let's start on the basketball. This has been what I would call a good summer for Bill Self, yet an odd summer for Bill Self. I had one of the top recruits in the country lined up, thought he was going to come to Kansas, and decided, now I'm actually going to go play in New Zealand. And then the kid comes out and says, well, if I would have played college ball, I would have taken Kansas. So that was odd. Then you had Azubuike decided he didn't even want to try the NBA, which was great for Kansas. You had Sylvia DeSouza get cleared to come back and play. You had Devon Dotson do the NBA workouts to see if he was going to go in the draft, and he decided it wasn't going to be a good fit right now, so he came back. And then you had Quentin Grimes do the NBA workouts. He came back and said, no, I'm still going to play college basketball, but I'm transferring to Houston. It's been an odd summer in Lawrence, Kansas for Bill Self.
It has, but when you look at what the final product is as the dust has settled, it's tough to complain about.
No, it's a good outcome.
It's been a weird sort of concoction. It's been a weird way to get to this point, but you just kind of think about the timeline and how fluid it's been and how much has changed with not knowing if Sylvia was going to be back, not knowing if he was going to have to sit out a year, not knowing if Doak was going to test the NBA waters. As you mentioned, Quentin Grimes and Devon Dotson both left. At one point, it looked like Dotson may even keep his name in the NBA draft. RJ Hampton looked like it was a done deal, and now he's playing in New Zealand. Other grad transfers, Rajon Tucker, who comes to Lawrence for a weekend, takes up residence at the Hawk. It seemed like, oh, well, of course he's going to end up here. Goes to Memphis, doesn't even end up playing for Memphis, keeps his name in the NBA draft. There's been so much that's gone on this summer, and now you look at what you're faced with heading into the season, and you've got what would, by most estimations, be a top five team in the country. Some people are pegging them to be the preseason number one team in the country. You've got what, for my money, is probably the deepest front court that you've had, at least in the past decade, at KU, and you've got an All-American point guard, or an All-American candidate at point guard, I should say. So, yeah, it's a pretty strong team, but it certainly wasn't by the most orthodox means necessary to get to this point.
Yeah, it was very different. So now that the pieces are kind of there, and look, we've had college basketball writers and radio hosts on the show, and most the consensus is they are a top five team. Looking ahead at that early non-conference schedule, they're going to get tested right out of the chute like they normally do, and they're going to find out pretty quick what they have and what they need to work on. But I think with, you know, we were talking about Devon Dotson and Quentin Grimes, I think that's going to work out better because Grimes just couldn't figure out his role in that offense. And I think it'll be, I don't want to say easier, nothing's easy about college basketball, but it'll be a better fit to just have Devon Dotson running the show.
Well, I think any time, and this isn't a knock against Quentin Grimes, but whether it was a fit, whether it was a confidence issue, something wasn't working there. And I think any time that you can head into a season where maybe you lost a piece that would have helped you, maybe you lost somebody that would have made you a more talented team, but if you have a team that's a more cohesive unit where everybody knows their jobs and everybody knows their roles and they're willing to execute them, that to me is a net positive. And I'm not saying that Quentin Grimes was this disgruntled player who wasn't happy with his touches or this or that, but there clearly was something off about him playing alongside Devon Dotson. I think he was playing off the ball for the first time in his life, and that took some getting used to. And even near the end of the season, what we saw the evolution of Grimes' game become was to a spot-up shooter. And that was never the game plan, and that was never his strength coming out of high school. He was never pegged as being this knockdown shooter, but that's what we saw near the end of last year. And that's going into your sophomore year, you'd figure, okay, well, he goes back to the drawing board. He gets in the gym. He works on his playmaking ability. He works on his ball handling. He works on his decision-making. And then all of a sudden, yeah, he is a guy who can play alongside Devon Dotson, because there is a long list of backcourts during the Bill Self era where you've had two guards handling the ball and sharing those ball handling duties. In the end, it was either something that he was not interested in doing or something that he just thought wasn't ever going to work out. So as you mentioned, he transfers, heads to Houston, and you know, Houston may be a perfect fit for him for what Kelvin Sampson's been able to do over the last couple of years, turning that program around. And when you see the way they play, they run, they shoot, they move the ball quickly, like that might be perfect for him. We'll see. But I think in the end, I would have loved to see what a sophomore version of Quentin Grimes looked like, but there was something off. He didn't want to be here. You move forward looking at a team that is going to be a lot different than it would have been with Quentin Grimes, but I think you could still make a case that it's a net positive because you've got a group of guys who want to be here, who know their roles. You have well-defined roles, and now it's just up to everybody to go out and execute them.
Yeah, and even though, you know, Houston's not a top-five program, but you watched them last year, and I got to cover them at the NCAA tournament here in Kansas City at Sprint Center. Kelvin Sampson is a great coach.
Yeah.
It's not like he's, you know, going to I was going to throw out a name, but I don't want to slam anyone. It's not like he was going down to Portland State or something like that. He's going to a really good program.
Right, and it's his hometown school as well. And as you mentioned, I mean, Kelvin Sampson has got them turned around. They're not a top five program. I don't even know if they're a top 20 program. But in the heat, for Quentin Grimes' sake, for a guy who probably only plans on being there for a year or two, they're kind of a hot program right now, and they might be a good fit. for his game and what he's trying to do. Because what he's trying to do is get down there, showcase his ball handling abilities, put up some good numbers, get some notoriety, and hit the league. He's trying to do that as quickly as possible, which is why it came out after it was announced he was going to Houston. He's going to be trying to get the waiver for immediate eligibility. I don't know if he'll get it. But if he does, honestly, I think there is a very good chance that you see a more, at least statistically, improved Quentin Grimes than the one we saw at Kansas.
Absolutely. And I threw out Portland State because I'm reasonably confident no one in Portland is listening to this show. So.
No, you know what? It was, you know what? I wasn't going to say anything, but that was kind of a low blow to Portland State. It was unnecessary, and I got a bad taste in my mouth.
Well, I was searching for schools in my head, and UMKC had been in the WAC the last few years, and Portland State was in there. I'm like, why would anybody want to go watch?
Whenever I go there, whenever I'm looking for a school like that, for some reason, I always go to Kennesaw State. So you
offended
the great people of Portland, and I've offended the great people of Kennesaw on several occasions. I don't even know if Kennesaw is a city, but I'd just like to extend my apologies to all their fans.
All right, so will I. So people of Portland, forgive me. Okay. We're speaking with Nick Schwert, host of Rock Chalk Sports Talk on KLWN in Lawrence, Kansas. Nick, let's switch it over to football because it's right around the corner. I mean, before we know it, we're going to be into the football season. I've mentioned this several times over the last couple of months. I think Les Miles is winning the PR campaign, inviting students out to practice, being more open with the media, doing the funny videos. He's got that acting background, so he has a natural charisma in front of the camera. He's doing all of those things the right way. But now it's going to come down to, can you win some football games? And they've gotten some good recruits. They and K-State both have significantly better numbers in their recruiting classes. What's kind of the vibe in Lawrence about how Les Miles has handled this first couple of months and what he's done in terms of recruiting?
Well, the vibe over the first couple of months has been, I mean, nothing but a positive, right? I think one thing that he has done such a fantastic job so far during his time as the KU coach is, even if it's not a loud buzz, there's constantly been some sort of a buzz surrounding the program. There's always been something to discuss, something to talk about. And I think for a program like KU, that's wildly important, because what that is you're simply staying relevant. And you're staying relevant with the people, with the students who in years past weren't paying you any attention this time of year, right? Fall hits. Students get back on campus. It's officially football season. Even if you're expected to win one or two games, people are going to say, "Hey, let's go check out the football team." Right? They're playing Northeastern State Tech. Like, they can get this win. They can go out and beat this team. But that honeymoon ends really, really quickly once you get into the year. Basically, since Les Miles took over in November, there's always been something to discuss regarding Les Miles and this football program. And you referenced the recruiting that they've done just this past week. I don't know if you consider what they did going viral, but they certainly had a lot of people talking about them online, a lot of people talking about them in general by landing 8 recruits over the weekend. They've now got a top 30 class in the country, according to 24/7 Sports, number 2 in the Big 12 behind Oklahoma. And what happened? That Monday, Les Miles sends out an email to all the donors, to season ticket holders, reminding people, hey, by the way, we had a great weekend in football, and if you haven't renewed your season tickets, do it now. Do whatever you can to help. That's been the MO. That's been the mantra, buy season tickets. You can't get people to buy season tickets in the middle of June unless they have a reason to think positively about KU football middle of June. Les Miles and the staff has done that with what they've done on the recruiting trail, so kudos to them, quite honestly. I don't know if it's going to translate to wins. I don't know if it's going to translate to significant fan interest when August, September, October rolls around, and they're going to need to see that fan interest show up at David Booth Memorial Stadium. But I know that they are creating buzz at a time of year when it's really easy to not pay attention to football. And for that, I think you have to say that's a net positive for them. We'll see where it goes from here, though.
Yeah, and I was thinking about this because, look, I didn't go to KU. I didn't go to K-State. I didn't go to Mizzou. I went to UMKC. So I don't have a stake in any program. I like to see all of our teams do well because it's more fun to talk about when all the local teams are playing well. But, you know, David Beatty became more closed off year after year after year for the 3 years he was there. Wouldn't you know, engage with the media, didn't engage really much on social media. The AD at the time, Shan Zinger, really didn't engage that much. He was kind of a quiet guy. But Les Miles and Jeff Long, the new AD, have been very enthusiastic about engaging with fans, supporters, donors, students, media, whatever. And it's just it's a better look for the university. And again, it's going to come down to wins. If you don't win football games, this thing ain't going to end well. But for right now, it's a much better look.
Brad, I got a job, a new job, about 6 years ago. And I remember the first week on the job, I was just kind of going about my business, doing my work. I would show up on time and, you know, I'd do my work and I'd say hi to people. And I'd leave and go to lunch for an hour and I'd come back on time and then I'd leave at 5 o'clock. It was, I wouldn't say I was an exceptional worker, but I was just doing my job.
Right.
And after a week or so, one of my bosses said, you know, Nick, it's just really a breath of fresh air seeing the way that you go about your business. And I go, you mean just like showing up and doing my work? And he said, yeah. He goes, you know, so-and-so, the guy who had the job before me, he was late to work and, you know, sometimes he didn't stay as long as he should have. And I thought to myself, you're not even giving me a compliment. You're just saying I'm doing my job.
Right.
It's the bare minimum, okay? I'm excelling or anything like that. That's kind of how I feel about Les Miles. And not they're not excelling, but they're being compared to guys who were not doing their job adequately.
Okay, that's fair.
Who was shrouded in secrecy, right? You wondered where I was going with that, huh?
Yes.
David Beatty, who tried to shroud everything in secrecy, keeping injury reports from people, trying to keep everything close to the vest because of the fact that he had three quarterbacks, none of whom he really trusted, and because he didn't know who was going to be his quarterback, he tried to wait until the very last minute, as if it gave his team any sort of competitive advantage heading into Saturday.
Right.
And there's a litany of things of that nature where it felt like maybe he thought he was being the smartest person in the room, and the rest of us are all standing around with our palms in the air saying, what the hell is this guy even doing? You don't have those sorts of issues. And I think it's quite simply stated by saying you have a head coach now who knows what he's doing. You have a head coach who knows how to run a football program. Is it going to lose the wins? None of us know. We all want to know what's it going to look like on Saturdays. But at the very least, you're seeing things be handled in a competent manner, and that seems like the bare minimum. It doesn't seem like he deserves a pat on the back for doing things this way. But it's hard not to be excited as a KU fan because, simply put, we're not used to seeing football coaches run a program in a competent manner.
Unless we're speaking with Nick Schwert from KLWN in Lawrence, Kansas. A couple of final things for you. I kind of had to laugh. Look, I think David Beatty is a good guy, personally.
I just
don't think he was cut out to be a Power 5 head coach. He wasn't.
Yes, you could say the same thing about Turner Gill 10 years ago.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, great guy, wasn't cut out for the job.
Still in the same spot. I didn't realize how deep his desire was to keep things secret until I was doing a KU football pregame show on TV once, and I didn't realize he didn't want to let anybody know who the starting quarterback was until, you know, the first snap of the game. And somebody associated with the show had texted one of the players on the team that he knew and said, well, it's going to be, I'm not going to give out any names, it's going to be player X starting today because player B was told he's not going to start. And we said it on the air. It didn't seem like a government secret. Hey, so-and-so starting today. You should be excited. And man alive, did that not go over well.
Brad, they had quarterbacks playing rock, paper, scissors.
Yes.
To figure out who was going to be getting the one, who was going to be repping with the one that was going to be repping with the twos in practice. Rock, paper, scissors. You know, the very first game that every child learns, rock, paper, scissors.
Right.
To determine starting quarterback play in the Big 12. Are you kidding me? That was an actual practice.
Well, it goes back years ago when I was in spring training with the Royals in Arizona. Tony Pena could not decide who was going to start opening day, and so he called in Runelvis Hernandez and Jeremy Offelt and had a coin flip. And I'm not going to – the reaction from the player who lost was not great.
I can't – Don't say the guy who lost the coin flip and therefore lost the starting job wasn't too pleased with the way things were handled. I can't imagine why.
Major eye rolls on that one.
Yeah.
All right, Nick, final question for you here. Most of the preseason predictions set the over-under for KU and wins with 3. Did you go over, under? Would you stay away from
it? You got him at 3, huh?
What have you seen?
Well, I saw
3.5. Okay, let's use 3.5.
Well, let's just put it into perspective here. It was 3 last year, I believe.
Okay, so 3.5 this year.
So KU got the push last year, but that was a huge step up from the year before. I think the win loss total was 2.5, and then the 2 previous years were 1.5. So if it is at 3.5,
okay, what do you got?
We're talking about a new record. Man, I've said all along without I'm gonna of course talk my way around this answer.
Okay.
I've said all along that I thought that while I think things are gonna look smoother and you're gonna see a coaching staff that looks like they know what they're doing. I don't know if the win loss is going to be indicative of the improvements that have been made around the program. I think you beat Indiana State. I think you beat Coastal Carolina. Winning on the road at Boston College seems like it'd be a given, but that's an ACC team on the road, so I'm not quite sure about that. If the over-under is at 3, I'm taking a push because I think this is a 3-win season. If it's a 3.5, then I will I'll take the under and hope that they surprise me.
And hope they at least play better and give you some hope.
Yeah, I'm snake bitten, yeah. Brad. You know, I need to see it before I'm going to believe it.
All right. Well, I think that's a good way to live your life. I want to see it before I believe it. Hey, Nick, I appreciate your time so much. Have fun on Rock Chalk Sports Talk on KLWN over there in Lawrence. I did a show there many years ago when I was learning the broadcasting business, and so I always have an affinity and an appreciation for folks at KLWN.
Well, there's still a plaque. There's still a plaque right behind that microphone that you sat at. So
for the one show that I did?
We haven't forgotten about
you. All right. Hey, Nick, thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday and stay cool out there.
Hey, thanks, Brad.
All right, that is Nick Schwert. KLWN in Lawrence. He's great. I love when that's what the second or third time we've had
him
on the show.
I love Nick. He's a great guy, and he has a lot of great fun insight into Kansas sports. So
not everything has to be so serious all the time. And Nick has a great ability to have some fun with it. So good stuff from Nick. All right, we're coming up on our final timeout here for this hour. We're going to take you up to 11 o'clock, and then we're going to magically transition the studio and do baseball tonight. So quick timeout. Yes. Quick timeout. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bolig is running the show, and you're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Summertime. Very fitting song, considering the heat we're going to have today and for the rest of the week. Back on Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810, WHB in Kansas City. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bolig is running the show. Jed Marshall, who used to sit in Chris's chair, but now he's Mr. Big Time, producing the program with Soren Petro and working with Curtis Siebold. Jed, by the way, I'm making a joke. I appreciate you listening on the weekends. He texted me Fat Elvis. Chris, you have an idea of what that was in reference to?
Yeah, I think it was about Mike Francesa.
Mike Francesa?
Yeah.
Okay, because we had him in the Bolig Bites earlier. Just melting down about a Mets game, doing play-by-play on the radio in a station that doesn't carry the Mets, which technically is illegal. You can't do that. So, anyway, a couple of final, just some fun notes, okay? We've had a good show today. Thanks to Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News, for joining us. Bolig Bites, funny as usual. Charles Barkley, downright winner every time. And we just wrapped up with Nick Schwert from KLW and Lawrence, talking all things KU. So a couple of fun things. Birthdays today. Mike Tyson is 53. When he got knocked out by Buster Douglas, it was such a big event that my high school history teacher brought in a VHS copy of the fight and played it during class. That's how big that moment was in the sports world. Mike Tyson, 53 today. Vincent D'Onofrio, actor, 60. A fantastic actor. He's 60 today. And one of my favorite actors of all time, David Alan Grier, one of the funniest and most talented actors ever, is 64 today. He was one of the founders of In Living Color, along with the Wayans brothers. Went to Michigan, Yale School of Drama. He's been in so many good things. But David Alan Grier, fantastic. Good stuff. All right. That's going to do it for this hour and this show. But we're not going anywhere. We're going to go into I don't know, what does a magician go into? He goes behind the curtain and something happens. We're going to go behind the curtain or behind the wall, and we'll magically transition to baseball tonight. That's coming up next, right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.